Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got a stuffed show today. Jim Traber, of course, it's Monday. He'll be here at 9:30. Lots to talk about with him. I can't wait to see what his reaction was to that day in Stillwater yesterday in that baseball regionals. So we'll talk to Jim at 9:30. We'll hit the softball and the baseball in between. But here at the top of the show, we've got one of the people in Elk City that's been around a while, and it's a name that everybody knows. Gene Smith Jr. is in here to talk about all kinds of things, not just what he's here to talk about, but we're going to talk about sports as well. So he's right here off the top of the show. Gene, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Beautiful morning, wasn't it?
It is a beautiful morning. You know, it's been pretty nice since it rained. Cooled everything off. It's green again. It's been nice.
I got 7 inches in my water gauge.
Dadgum.
Up on the hill.
Up on the hill.
You know it's raining when you walk through your yard and it feels like a sponge.
Yep.
You know when you got a lot of rain when it happens like that, like 3 or 4 days later. I noticed that yesterday. I was walking through my lawn. It's like a little spongy still. So, yeah, it's nice to have that rain. Hopefully we get more of it.
Lord, we needed it.
We did definitely need it. Hey, tell everybody what you got going on, because if you don't know, June 6th, I quizzed Jared about this on Friday, and he came up with the right answer. Thankfully, it took him a little longer than we thought.
But oh, no, it didn't.
He did. Yeah, today's D-Day. Tell us what you got going on.
Hey, I'm here representing the American Legion, and the American Legion obviously is a veterans outfit, and tonight we're going to have a hamburger fry for all area veterans. We thought D-Day sounded like a good day to do
that.
It's a good remembrance day. Although I'm old, I'm not that old. But I can certainly remember the aftermath. I think I'll ask you guys just for some fun. How many Americans did we lose in World War II?
Man, I tell you what, let me think. Because Callan Nichols had these numbers when we had the Memorial Day golf tournament out at Elk City. And he had all those stats from the Revolutionary War all the way through to Iraq and Afghanistan. I cannot remember what the number was.
Okay. If you go to Washington, they have a World War II memorial, and they have stars representing. There's 440 stars, so that tells you there's 440 men we lost in that war. How many did the Germans lose?
Well, I would guess millions.
10 million.
10 million. I'd say I'd guess.
How about the Japanese?
At least that many.
They're pretty comparable. Mm-hmm. I can't give you. I didn't think to bring the numbers, but they're roundabout. It's around 10 million. How many did the Russians lose?
Gosh, probably more than that.
The Russians, this is just unofficial. They think that the Russians lost 20 million in the war, plus Stalin killed another 10 or 15
right.
million
yeah.
of
yeah.
his own people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they figure they lost, but they still weren't the most. Who do you think really lost the most? Surprising number. You just don't think about it as that being a big deal. The Chinese,
yeah.
They lost between 40 and 50 million people. Actually, the Japanese, prior to 1941, went through Manchuria and slaughtered 20 to 30 million Chinese. Mm. And then when they got into the war with the Chinese, they slaughtered a bunch more. The Chinese were ill-equipped to fight anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I throw those out just for one reason. You know, President Roosevelt did a heck of a job keeping us out of it, because if we'd have been in it, we'd have lost a lot more than that. And as a matter of fact, if we had had to invade Japan, I just watched this the other night. Their estimates, if we had to invade Japan to end that war, we'd lost between 1 million and 2 million.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're very aware of people who serve in the American Legion, and that's one of the reasons we want to do this. We want to celebrate that service because, you know, in Vietnam, they really didn't treat us very well when we came home. I'm an old Vietnam guy, and I was very proud to wear the uniform. I mean, I was a military nut all my life, and I was proud to wear it, and I couldn't wear my uniform off base. So,
because of the hostility,
you get in a fight.
Wow.
So we're out here we want these guys kind of to welcome them home, the Vietnam guys. But the other thing is Vietnam, there was a situation over there where our government sprayed something called Agent Orange.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Agent Orange really caused a lot of problems health-wise. And there's a lot of veterans out there that have health problems that the government needs to take care of. And so part of what we're going to do tonight, if anybody out there is listening and you have questions about your health, whether it would be covered by the VA or not, you need to come tonight because we've got people there. There's 8 or 10 of us that have been through the gamut. We've fought the fight. I started, and it took me 2 years to get benefits. So you got to be like a bulldog.
Yep.
Once you hook up, you got to stay hooked until something gives. But we've got the people there that can help you. It won't be 2 years. You know, I was learning, and I made a lot of mistakes. But, you know, there is help out there for these people. The big thing that Agent Orange has caused, PTSD, Parkinson's, prostate cancer, heart disease, sugar diabetes, neuropathy, those are the biggies. And, you know, there's one that just about everybody that fought any war has is called tinnitus. That's you have a ringing in your ears.
Yeah.
You know, so those things are, there's help available. As a matter of fact, I just read yesterday the Congress, the House of Representatives has passed a bill where all military veterans will receive VA health care. Now, if that goes through the Senate, that's really good news for everybody that's ever served.
Sure it is. And well-deserved in the way it should have been for a long time now.
Well, at least we think so. Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize that when you got drafted or you signed up, volunteered, whatever you did, you signed a blank check with your name on it, paying up to, including your life. That's a pretty healthy payment. So, you know, the fact they... I hate to say this way, but it's the way I feel. We owe veterans.
Mm-hmm.
We don't owe people coming across the border, and they're spending tons of millions of dollars on them. Don't even know who, what, where. I get so mad about it because it's, you know, we have Americans that have gone to war for this country that need help. So I'm but one guy, but I can do what I can do, and we're going to do everything we can to help the guys out there that need help.
Absolutely.
So if somebody could not come tonight to get this information, what would somebody do? Like, what if there is a veteran that saying, "Hey, I do need help, you know, with my health." You know, do they call somebody? Do they need to go to
there
the
are,
local VA?
What obviously, do they do? There are. Every organization, be it the American Legion, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, or the Disabled American Veterans, have people in the state that you can talk to. I can't tell you because of COVID. I can't tell you that the rep comes back to it. For years, every Wednesday at 10 o'clock, there's a representative at the hospital up here.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that they've reinstated that since COVID. But if they can get a hold of me, I'm Gene Smith, and, you know, I think my phone number is listed. So you can call me, or the commander of the post unit is Jerry Thompson, who used to be the guidance counselor at school. I mean, any veteran can probably put you in touch with me, and I can be sure you get whatever you need.
Where, what time, where for the hamburger deal tonight?
6:30 tonight at the Church of Christ Family Center, which is the old Nagel Snappy Sack. For those of you who've lived here a long time,
yeah.
For those of you who don't, it's straight across the street west of Walgreens.
Yeah, Second and Adams.
Second, it's yeah.
Right there on the corner.
You got it.
All right, 6:30.
6:30 tonight.
6:30 yep. tonight.
With bells on.
With bells on. Hamburger fry. Now, that's the important part. Now let's get to the fun stuff.
Yes.
You been watching any softball?
Oh, buddy. You know, I think that's probably the fastest growing sport in the United States. And the fact that we have three Big 12 teams in the finals is just blows my mind. You know, it was one thing to have Alabama and Georgia in the football finals, but this is big. And we can't say anything but great things about the two coaches for OU and OSU and what they've done. And, of course, I told you earlier, you know I'm a big OU guy. I graduated from OU. But I got to tell you, Kelly Maxwell is the real deal, man. I'm so impressed with the way she's played ball. She's tough. She's a tough kid. For a girl.
That, you know, that was Gene, not us. We're hanging out with Gene Smith Jr.
That was a joke. That was an aside. No, she is a tough young lady, I'll promise you.
There's no doubt. We're hanging out with Gene Smith Jr. What do you think? I know you are an OU guy through and through. What were your thoughts about what happened last December with Lincoln Riley running off, but then also a guy that a lot of people really enjoyed when he was here before Brent Venables taking over the program?
Well, yeah. I think that there was a lot going on all season long. I mean, that's just what I think. I don't have any proof of it or anything because, I mean, I don't think that we really – it almost was like Lincoln didn't have his mind on his business at times. That's just what I think. And so, you know, I think this guy came in, Brent Venables came in, and, man – I mean, I read about it every day, something new else, something he's doing. I mean, this SOL program where he's got people in there that are taking care of the guys after hours, helping them. As a matter of fact, they're going to go on a mission trip right next summer, mm-hmm. the whole team. So it's not just football. He's teaching them about life. And, I mean, that's way unusual, I think, for football coaches. They're usually just tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's got to be about football, and he has really come in and brought some, and not just to his own program. I mean, when you start reading every program down there, the girls' gymnastics, the boys' gymnastics, basketball programs, both of them, all of them are looking at what he's doing in this, and they're starting to buy into it because, you know, to me, and I'm a big fan. I've been a fan of football all my life. I started being an OU fan when I was 6 years old. When I went to my first OU football game, and that's been a many year ago. Yeah. But this NIL deal is going to ruin college sports as far as I'm concerned because you're going to have another professional league. The question is, how are they going to pay them? And that's, you know, nobody can answer that. It just seems to me, though, you know, I the next thing you're going to have, you know, they'll be striking, and that's – I was a huge baseball fan all my life till they had their first baseball strike, and I'll be honest, I don't think I've watched a game since then. They're making too much money.
We've already seen a form of it, in my opinion, when you see players opting out of bowl games for their own benefit, not for you
absolutely.
Know, I mean, it's like, well, it's better for me if I don't play because I might twist an ankle and it might hurt my draft prospects. And listen, not everybody's going to go to the pros. It drives me crazy. Anyways, but we always kind of see a form of the striking. But I agree, unless they get the NIL under control. I'm not against the NIL. There just needs to be more control with it.
Where I think they have a real problem is if, let's say, that you have a quarterback makes $1 million a year and his linemen are making $500
yeah.
a game.
Yeah.
You know, I'd find it pretty hard to block for him, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm wondering if that's not part of the problem that we saw in Norman this
it
year.
It could have been.
With Spencer Rattler. I mean, it was so publicized. Getting money, getting cars, you know, those big guys in front of him going, what about me?
Yeah, what's really funny about that, though, that's – did you hear – I was listening to Pat Jones one morning, and he was talking about OU going into the Southeastern Conference, and there was something said about cheating, and he said, you know, Oklahoma and Texas don't have any idea what they're getting into. He said, those guys in the Southeastern Conference are really professionals at cheating. He said, that's why they have what they have, because they're really good at it.
Been doing it for a lot of years.
That's right. And, you know, I thought last week, I thought it was very funny when they had the big deal between Texas A&M and Alabama about, well, they bought all those players. And who was it? Somebody came up and said, boy, the guy who lives in a glass house shouldn't throw stones.
That's exactly right. But you can understand, Saban's had the advantage all these years because they are so good at it.
Well, sure. Yeah. But he's a good coach, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Proven that. But, you know, the sad part about it is it's all everything anymore is about the money.
That's it. It is. There's not. I think that's why people are starting to gravitate more toward the softball.
Sure.
Is because it feels like when you're watching those gals play, they are playing it more for the joy of the game, of the competition, of the team aspect of things, than they are for any of the money. Because quite frankly, they don't have a whole bunch of prospects after it's over to be making a whole bunch of money. Sure, they can go play in the Olympics and they can play professionally, but it's not the boon that it is going to the NBA, the NFL, or Major League Baseball.
And I think, and this is my opinion, but I think I like amateur sports where they're not professionals because they play it because they like the game, they enjoy it. The hardest thing in the world is to go play something and get paid for it and you hate what you're doing. You're not very good, usually, at what you do. And you know, it's like high school sports. I think that everybody ought to be supporting all the high school sports they can because those kids are playing it for the love of the game.
Right.
And they don't get a dime out of it, and sometimes they get injuries that they never play it again.
Mm-hmm.
But and the girls especially, you know, the one of the things that brought out with the softball is the fact that girls don't get paid on anything as much as the men do. And, you know, Title IX was supposed to correct a lot of that, but it didn't necessarily do that. So they're still hustling, trying to catch up.
Yep, they are. Hey, tell us one more time. Tonight, what? Where are you going to be?
Hamburger Fry at the Church of Christ Family Center, which is right west across the street from Walgreens. And we're going to have hamburgers with all the trimmings and a lot of information for you, whether you need it or not. You're going to get some information, hopefully that'll be helpful. You know, that's really what these service organizations are about. It's for about the fellowship, but it also, it's a mode where military people can find out what's going on that benefits them. A little example, there's tons of discounts for military veterans all over town.
Mm-hmm.
And you can pull up and say, hey, I'm a vet, and they'll give you a discount.
Right.
So, you know, those kind of things, that's what we're passing out. And we'd love to have as many come. If you're in the Elk City area, please come. It's Post 181 here in Elk City. And if you're not, you can still come have a hamburger. We'd love to have any veteran, World War I through, what's the last war, Afghanistan?
Yeah, I guess Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So the other thing, if – we talked a little about the Agent Orange. Guys got sprayed with that. They didn't know there was anything there. So, you know, you may have a claim, and you need to come and get some information about it. That's what we're all about tonight.
Now, you meet once a month, though, right?
We
this
do
isn't
meet
just
once
a one-time thing.
That's right. We meet once a month on the first Monday of every month, and we meet in the same building, the old Nagels building down there, and for fellowship and talk about stuff. So, I mean, we'd love to have you anytime, and that's about all I've got.
All right, 6:30 tonight, the Church of Christ Fellowship Building, the old Nagel Snappy Sack, west across the street from Walgreens. Gene Smith Jr., thank you so much for joining us.
Tune in this afternoon
and,
for the girl.
And more importantly, thank you for your service.
Yes.
Hey, let me tell you, that's the best 5 years of my life. I don't say anything bad about my wife and kids. That's not the point. The point is flying airplanes for a living was a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it's pretty heady stuff when you're 24, 25 years old. They throw you the keys to a $35 million airplane. Hey, take that baby and go to Europe.
Yeah. Okay, hey. I'll do it.
Hey, good seeing you.
Hey, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Jared, take care.
Gene Smith Jr. We're going to take a break when we come back. Uh-oh.
We're fine. We're fine.
All right. Come back. We'll kind of wrap the weekend and get ready for gym at 9:30. We'll hit that again. 6:30 this evening. Hamburger Fry at the Church of Christ Fellowship Building. Put on by the American Legion here on D-Day. Good to have Gene in here. One of the legends of Elk City.
Absolutely.
Is that family been around here for a long, long, long time. That was good stuff. Good information, and you know good and well. There'll be a lot of information that'll be there for all the military veterans down there. 6:30, go get you a burger at the old Nagel's Snappy Sack. First Christian Church Fellowship Building. All right, Jared, what'd you do this weekend?
Oh,
we went to a concert.
Yeah, we went down to Arlington to that concert. It was a lot of fun.
All right, we're going to have to save that for tomorrow.
I was going to say, we don't have time.
We'll have to save that for tomorrow.
For all the stories. But the good news is, my wife got to see the new Texas Rangers ballpark. And she said, you know what? I think we need to come back here and go to a game. So you already have a date circled for later this summer. Sometimes you just got to take them straight to it. Anywho, a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Because there's also a lot of sports that happened this weekend.
Man, I can't wait to ask Jim about OSU baseball. What an unbelievable day yesterday in Stillwater.
What about days? I mean,
starting with the Arkansas game on Friday night.
Was that Friday or Saturday?
Saturday. Yeah. Saturday night. Starting from there through last night. Just incredible baseball. And, you know, it's kind of, I know I've heard him talk about some of those comebacks. Like, you know, they won so many Big Eight tournaments in a row. Golly, I think it was like 18 or 19 at one point, that OSU baseball program. And they did it. A bunch of them happened that way, where you get way behind and then all of a sudden you just bash the ball until you get back in it. I don't know. Do you think there's ever been a time in the history of baseball, and that goes back, I'm talking about any baseball, little kids all the way up through the major leagues, and there's been baseball around for 150 years. Do you think there's ever been a time where the pitcher, where one guy, not even the staff, one guy, on a staff that gave up 15 runs, struck out 16 batters.
You'd have to go digging through some archives.
I mean, do you think that has ever happened?
I don't know.
How about this? Both teams in that game yesterday afternoon had a 12-run lead.
Yeah.
I mean, just incredible. And that wasn't even the best game they played.
Yeah.
I mean, that one last night was just wild. Man, it was wild.
I'm anxious to ask Jim what his thoughts were. Was it good offense or bad defense?
Yeah, the pitching. I mean,
see what I'm saying?
I mean, here's the truth of it. Once you get, we even saw it with Arkansas there in the top of the ninth. At some point, you kind of run out.
Right.
And Arkansas's had the easy road to get to where they were last night. You know, OSU's had, man, I don't know who's left. Maybe he will. But you're going to have some guys, probably more than one guy, kind of on fumes out there today. And here's the deal. That's what leads to all the runs being scored a lot of the times.
Yes.
It's just when you see, you know, tired arms that just can't quite make the pitches that they at times. But anyway, that was great. Oklahoma, they'd been an absolute buzzsaw, and it looked like that was going to continue. Bases loaded, nobody out yesterday. In the bottom of the first, was it bottom of the first or top of the first? I can't remember. I think they were bottom. And then they don't scratch any out, and all of a sudden Florida wins that game 7-2. So, I mean, look at what's on tap for today in the state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
An elimination, a win, and you go to the Super Regionals in Stillwater, a win, and you go to the Super Regionals in Gainesville, and then the softball, where you're looking at the opportunity to set up the Bedlam Championship Series. And oh, by the way, I guess the only thing that would make it even better would be if it was OU in Texas, just because of that rivalry. But the OU-UCLA one's a pretty good one in softball.
Absolutely it is.
And so you've got, you know,
we got the OU-Texas thing on Saturday.
Yeah, we've already got that.
We got that.
But OSU and Texas, OU and UCLA. So three of the four teams left standing are all from the Big 12.
Man. Okay, so timeline. 11 o'clock OU women, noon OU men. It is 6 o'clock OSU, 6:30 OSU or OSU Arkansas.
Yes.
And then is it 6:30 OSU tonight with help me.
With Texas? No, it's 6 o'clock.
It's at 6 as well?
6 as well.
That's a shame both of the schools are playing at the same time. Like OU and OSU will eventually will, and then OSU, you know what I mean.
Yeah, OU so, baseball but, and softball will
yeah,
be
yeah, yeah. You kind of wish it would be more spread out where both fan bases can catch them all. But be a lot of channel turning during those times and keeping an eye on everything. But that is really cool that here we are early June and bats and balls are still being played in the state of Oklahoma, all four teams. That is kind of cool.
Yeah, and what will happen
both
is –
both teams and all of them, like you mentioned, the World Series, and both OU and OSU have a really good chance. I mean, never know what could happen, and all of a sudden they're playing Super Regional.
Yeah, for sure. And what will happen there on the softball, at least, is the reason why those games are spread out so long, you may be thinking, golly, 11 o'clock and then not anything till 6 o'clock? Well, it's because they've got it set up where the first two teams will play back-to-back. So if UCLA beats Oklahoma, they'll play again before OSU and Texas would.
Right.
Problem with that is, if you're OSU or Texas, if you go both games, that's going to end up being well into the night.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the championship series will start tomorrow night. Isn't it? Is it? I'm pretty sure it's Tuesday, Wednesday. If it gets to the third game, they get Thursday off, and then the final game would be Friday. Is that right?
It is. Finals Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So it's
I thought they had a day off.
Nope. Looking at it right now. The if necessary, game three would be Friday night.
So there has to be a day off.
Game one is Wednesday. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, there's Tuesday's off.
So tomorrow's off. Then they play three in a row.
Correct.
Okay. I knew there
was there's your day.
Okay. Yeah, I knew there was a day in there somewhere, but I was thinking it was between two and three, but it's between the end and the start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there it is. And, man, if it's Bedlam Finals, I'm tempted to get the projector out and have a watch party in the backyard. How fun would that be?
Oh, think about a Friday night, game three, winner take all.
Unfortunately, I'll be watching a different kind of softball. Fortunately, but unfortunately.
I bet it'll be on out there if that happens.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of phones on it. Again, recapping, we'll talk about baseball with Jim. We'll talk about softball as well because – everybody in the state, OU, OSU, baseball, softball, still playing. And again, today the Women's College World Series starts with OU, if necessary, immediately following that. OSU playing at 6. What you don't want, Aaron, is if OU loses and then that game 12, that if necessary, goes long. I mean, you could be seeing the OSU playing well into the night. I mean, that second if necessary game is slated for 8:30, but you know that won't be on time if everything else has to be played. We were talking about a lot of softball. It's not a good situation for OSU, in my opinion.
That's why it's beautiful that they have that day off.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you want that day off tomorrow. But I think they'll be fine. I think both of them will be fine.
All right, joining us right now is the voice you'll hear at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Uh-oh. Doesn't sound like he's there. Ah, there you go. It's the ultimate Jim Traber. Jim, you got us?
First time you guys on radio today.
Yeah, as soon as I clicked it over, I was like, nope, he's not there. We got to get him back on. Hey, I can't wait.
I'm exhausted today. I can barely move. I don't know what to tell you.
I cannot wait to hear your thoughts. From 6 o'clock Saturday night through 11 o'clock last night with OSU baseball, just unbelievable.
I just can't, you know. For people that don't listen to me all the time, I tell people there's only two things I'm biased about, the Pittsburgh Steelers and OSU baseball. That's it, okay? And I will tell you the truth still. I'm not one of those homers. You guys may not remember way back, but I'm the guy that said that Anderson, the coach at OSU, needed to be fired. I was the very first one to say it. They wanted to kick me out of the Hall of Fame for it, and I was right on the money. Fellas, I've never seen anything like that in my entire life. I can't imagine watching that baseball over the last couple days if you aren't a fan. If you didn't play there. I can't like you guys. Neither one of you guys have some big deal with OSU baseball. I don't know how you watched it. It was the most psychotic thing I've ever seen. Dudes are Saturday night are messaging me saying the coaches should be fired and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just saying to them, are the coaches, like, unable? Are they the ones that are unable to throw a strike? I mean, my gosh, they're drilling people. I was at the game on Saturday, guys, sitting right behind the dugout. I've never seen like it. I don't even know if it was real baseball. But I do know that OSU showed a lot of heart yesterday. Arkansas is a good team, fellas. I mean, they got some dudes that can hit. You know, their pitching obviously is going to be in bad shape, just like OSU's is in bad shape now too. But I've never seen. I mean, the amount of runs, the balls, when that wind was blowing out, the ball was flying out of there like it was a cracker box. I've never seen anything like it. But they held in there, and believe it or not, I'm not trying to say that I think OSU is some great, great team, because obviously they got problems with their pitching, but they're still alive. I mean, beyond belief, they're still alive. So I will tell you this, guys. You guys have listened to me for a long time. You know, I'm a little bit disgusted with Rock Riggio and what he did on Saturday night, and I think it was karma. You know, they're rolling along, and he does that stupid little thing when he's coming in. I don't know what that is. I'm sure that's some, like, pop culture thing that I don't know about. And from that point on, Arkansas kicked their butt on Saturday night. And you guys know I don't like that kind of stuff. I even texted Josh and just said, dude, man, he's a superstar, but that's a little bit too much for me. Of course, yesterday, he decided that he was just going to sprint around the bases, which to me was a little bit even almost as bad. But anyway, I can't even, you hear me, I can't even explain what I'm trying to say. I've never seen like that, those games, and it was some crazy baseball. But they're alive, fellas. They're still alive. And OU down there in a totally different way, they're alive too. So hopefully both of them can win today.
I mean, it's like.
By the way, correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't OU baseball and softball both playing at the same time?
OU, the softball starts at 11, and the baseball starts at noon. But then OSU's the same way. Both softball and baseball start at 6.
I know. What I mean, I understand that it's kind of hard to figure something like that because the schedules are, you know, obviously made ahead of time. But boy, oh boy, I'll tell you when. I would have loved to seen maybe the NCAA say to OSU baseball, you know, can we move the game so they don't have to play at the same time? You know?
Right. Yeah, it'd be nice if you could, like, flip the OSU baseball with the OU softball. That way they were, kind of staggered that way, where the OU fans could watch them both and the OSU fans could watch them both. I want you to
be tough on the fans.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And like you said, the TV already kind of has it set. And by the way,
and the fans at work on a Monday.
And think about the teams up there in Stillwater. You get done with that at 11 o'clock at night, and then you have to turn around 12 hours later and get going at 11 in the morning. That'd be a little bit, you know, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe,
but you
even,
know what?
But they're
Eric
both doing
it.
Once. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, OSU played 10 hours of baseball yesterday. All right, 10 hours. That was, I mean, Julie goes, boy, they got to be really tired. I said, they're not as tired as I am.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm 60 years old.
Yeah.
Gee, man, these are young kids.
We do know that you, I mean, you're as honest about it as you can be. That's one of the two teams that you openly root for and want to do good in this business. What were you thinking when it was 12-0 yesterday morning?
I turned it off. I turned it off. Julie and I woke up late yesterday morning. We went and we watched church online, and then I started watching that game, and I was hungry and I hadn't eaten very well the night before. Oh, actually, I ate at the stadium, you know, so I was eating stadium food. And then when it became 9-0, I said, I'm done with it. I can't watch this. I said, let's go eat, Joel. So we go out. and I make it, it gets to 12-0. I find out it's 12-0. And, of course, I'm getting text messages from people, you know, how embarrassing this is. Are you watching this? Suddenly, when they started playing well, nobody was texting me, I might add.
Right.
But anyway, isn't it amazing how people love for people to, like, be in pain? I mean, I'm serious. They know that I love OSU baseball, and when it's going bad, man, it is, like, everywhere. And then some of your OU brethren ripping me on the Instagram by saying, "Oh well, he'd be ripping the coaches if it wasn't for his friendship with Holiday." First of all, if you think that I'm going to rip Josh Holiday with what he's done so far at OSU, you're crazy. Secondly, the only thing that a coaches I thought might have been differently done was I thought maybe Rob Walton should have taken McLean out a little bit earlier on Saturday night. But what's the difference? They bring in the next kid, and he gives up a grand slam.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how anybody can look at this and say coaching. Now, I think that they probably need to, you know, look at their pitching staff and maybe get a couple more players here and there. But, look, I turned it off, and then my son-in-law texted me and said, "It's 12-6," and I was like, "Really?" So after I got done with lunch, I went home, and, of course, you know, 25 runs later, it was 25 runs. That is just ridiculous. This is psychotic. Oh, my God.
I asked Jared, I mean, baseball has been played for every bit of 150 years, if not longer. Do you think there was ever a time in the history of baseball where one dude from a staff that gave up 15 runs struck out 16 batters?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I mean, and think about it. He was a daggone reliever.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't even the starter. I mean, forget about all the runs things. How many relievers strike out 16? Just think about that in any game. I would love to see how many relievers have struck out 16 people. It is, guys, we are not watching baseball. I don't even know what it is, but we're not watching baseball. It was one of the craziest things I've ever been involved in. And, you know, to make it even worse, I'm sitting there, you know, Josh Holiday got us some great tickets, and I'm sitting right behind the dugout, and some dude comes running down and starts screaming and yelling at Rob Walton, you know, like, you know, killing him. I mean, just killing him. He comes down and he sits in the, you know, impressive seats and starts screaming at him. And I just got to tell you, I couldn't take it. I had to get up and tell the dude what a punk he was. I said, you pretend you're some OSU fiend. You're coming down here screaming. And the guy literally was kind of apologizing. So what a night. I mean, it was ridiculous. And, of course, Julie's not a huge baseball fan. She had to sit through that whole game. I've never seen anything like it. But, you know, I'm just going to say it again. They're still alive. Somehow, they are still alive. And today should be interesting. You know, Josh didn't call me this morning and ask me if I want to come up here and pitch today. But,
yeah, what do they got?
I don't know who's going to pitch.
Yeah, what's their chances like today with the pitching or lack thereof? And what do they got to do to win? What do you think?
Well, first of all, I don't like making excuses. I never make excuses. But it really hurts them that the Osman kid is hurt.
Yeah, we saw him the night we went up there.
He's filthy, dude.
Yes, yes.
I mean, he is nasty. He's got a nasty slider. He throws hard. I mean, if they had – look, I don't know who knows what would happen. He might give up 7 runs in the first inning. I'm just saying that they miss him because, not just because he's really good, but just because he's an arm. I'll tell you, I give it up to Mitchell Stone. You know, he's been through a lot since he's been there at OSU, and he really came through yesterday. I don't know what they're going to do, man. They made the Madeira kid, right? Is that his name, Madeus? Well, I can't even remember his name anymore. The dude who started game one, he may have to pitch. I mean, you know, I mean, who knows who they're going to throw? But guess what? Arkansas is in the same, you know, they're in the same boat. I mean, this is going to be a thing of attrition today, is what it is. So, I don't know. I expect there to be a lot of runs scored again. Probably going to be a long game, but I'll be ready to go. 6:00. I tell you, man, I'm exhausted, absolutely exhausted from those games yesterday. And I was sitting on my couch like a big old fat pig.
What do you think of softball, man?
Real quick, okay. OSU baseball fans sound like OU football fans. That's all I got to say.
Those long games where nobody can stop anybody.
That too.
What do you think about softball? Well, we're so
– well, first of all, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, Jared, because, you know, OSU hasn't won a national championship in like 60 years, and you know, it's interesting because they haven't been as good as maybe, you know, people like me would like them to be. Just like OU fans aren't, you know, as happy with OU football as they should be. So anyway, yeah, that's an interesting comparison. But the OSU baseball fans, there's no doubt that they are spoiled. There's no doubt about it.
We're so close to softball. Man, it's been fun so far. OU and OSU have been the best two teams up there so far. Do you think? I think the new rules have really helped OSU as far as winning, getting a day off. That way Kelly Maxwell can continue to go out there, kind of like old school in that softball tournament. Do you see it happening?
I think it's about an 80% chance they play each other. And then I think that obviously OSU's got their work cut out for them. I mean, OU is – I mean, Kenny Gajewski, I think I said this the other day, reminds me so much of the Utah Jazz. I mean, the Utah Jazz were, for youngsters, they were a great basketball team. They had two Hall of Famers on it. And they will go down in infamy because of Michael Jordan. I mean, they couldn't beat Michael Jordan. The Buffalo Bills losing four Super Bowls, although that wasn't just one team. This is one team. I mean, OU is amazing. They are close to unbeatable. The good thing is that OSU has beat them. And at least they have that in their minds that they can beat them. Now, Texas did too, and they got smoked yesterday, just like normally the teams do against OU. But I'll be surprised if it's not. I think there's going to be two games today, and that's it. And then I think, then do they give them one more day, and then they play again? If that happens, is that what it is? Wednesday, is that when the finals start?
Yes, I believe that's right. We were just discussing that. Get Tuesday off, and then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday would be the 3 days.
Well, that'll be amazing, man, to have OU and OSU. You know, I'll tell you what, no matter what happens today, the spring sports in Norman and Stillwater have been about as good as you can get. Now, OU and OSU's golf team, they puked down their legs, both of them. But baseball, softball, golf, the tennis was good. I mean, it is really impressive what these two schools are doing. I mean, I know these aren't big money-making sports, but they're all doing really good at both schools. It's pretty impressive. Fun for us, too, you know, to be able to talk about it.
I think Al
Usbeck brought it up the other day. He said 10 years ago when the College World Series was on, he was trying to decide whether the umpire was a man or a woman. And now we actually care about the game, so good for them.
That was irrelevant. It was really cool on Saturday afternoon watching – OU Texas on ABC. I guess they set attendance records over there. It helps that both OU and OSU are in the dang thing, but that the popularity of the sport is just going through the roof.
Yeah, it's so cool, man, that it's right here in Oklahoma City. Now, by the way, guys, did either one of you hear that pathetic New York Times writer and what he did at the press conference?
No.
Oh, fellas, you got to go look at it. Believe it or not, in the midst of a press conference with the OU coach and players, the New York Times guy asked Patty Gasso about Roe versus Wade and how does it recruiting young women with this state, being like it is as far as abortion is concerned. And then she said, especially because you're recruiting a lot of girls from California. This dude asked this in the middle of a press conference. Are you kidding me? Is that where the country is now with these pathetic people, these so-called journalists? You know, all he had to do was call her up and ask her a question. Nope, he had to just sabotage her right in the middle. Patty handled it so beautifully that I just can't explain how wonderful she handled it. But is that where our world is nowadays? In a softball press conference, that this pathetic newspapers does something like that? It's beyond belief for me. That goes so far. I mean, the New York Times should be embarrassed of themselves.
And they won't be, unfortunately, because they'll be applauding it, is what will be happening.
Of course they will. They'll say that it's a question that has to be asked. Well, you know what? If that's the way you feel, call up Patty Gasso and try to do an interview with her. Say, I'd like to get a one-on-one with you. And then talk about it there. But I mean, in the middle of the press conference, fellas, I mean, it never ceases to amaze me where our world is nowadays.
No, I did see kind of along that same vein this weekend, how Greg Popovich, who is 70 years old and white, talking about how the entire problems in the country are created by 50, 60, 70-year-old white guys. And I was thinking, that's pretty interesting because that's exactly what you are.
Well, he's different, dude. I mean, trust me. We know all about him. Yeah, I shouldn't have got started. I apologize, but I was going to talk about it on my show today, so I thought I'd throw it out there a little bit. But Patty Gasso, you guys get a chance after the show, go listen to it.
Okay.
Patty Gasso did an unbelievable job. She is such an impressive woman, not only as a coach, but as a woman. And I just, between her and Kenny Gajewski, you know, and then, I mean, look, we don't really talk a lot to Skip Johnson, but what he's done very quietly has been amazing over there. And, of course, you guys know I love me some Josh Holliday. And although it was hard to watch some of that baseball, I'm going to say it one more time, guys. They're still alive, believe it or not. I don't know how, but they're still alive.
Final question. We'll move on to the finals. Final question about OU baseball. I had this discussion with somebody last night. It got me thinking about it, too. I was like, well, I know the perfect guy to ask. That'll be Jim. How big of a opportunity is it for Skip Johnson and the OU program if they can get a win today and move forward to the Super Regional as far as recruiting and getting the program more in a national light, and because they're such a young team? How big of an opportunity is it for Skip Johnson and OU baseball today?
Well, I mean, I think it's a big picture right now. I mean, I've talked about it on the radio. If they were to go to the SEC right now, fellas, they'd be next to last as far as facilities, you know? Now, somebody did call me that has some power who told me that there are talks going on right now about doing some things to that baseball stadium. So I'm not saying I'm the one that pushed it, but they know it too. They know. You know, they're going to get a brand new softball stadium, much needed. I mean, what they're doing, they deserve it. And by the way, it should be first, okay? I think it's absurd that softball has more scholarships than baseball. That's just me. If they want to be equal, I have no problem. But when it comes to who should build something first, it should be OU softball. But I think Skip Johnson has done an amazing job this year. Guys, a month ago, they were dead in the water. And they just made an incredible run, and they're one game away from getting to a Super Regional. And I really like what they're all about. I mean, they're playing good baseball. Now, Florida's good. You know, Florida's good. That's going to be a tough game. At home, there'll be a big crowd there. Actually, helps OU a little bit that the game is at 12, actually.
Right,
yeah.
You know, actually, I think it helps OU because I think there'll be some people that say they can't go because they got to work. You know, if that game was at 6 o'clock, I think it'd be even crazier. So I think that helps OU a little bit. But I'm sure that OU in Florida has the same problems that everybody else has. No one has the problems that Arkansas and OSU have because of the runs and the pitchers. But I don't know, dude. I'm on a cloud 9, but I think it's cloud 7 because I can't get to cloud 9. I don't know. It's not of happiness. It's not of joy. I'm not ecstatic. I'm just walking around on a cloud because I got no idea what's happening.
All right, man. I know we got to cut you loose a little bit early today, but thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be watching, and probably ought to be praying for you to make it through tonight's game, because I think you're right. It's going to be another one that's just going to be psychotic, and first one to 10 wins.
Can we keep it 10?
Yeah, I was a little low.
I just want to keep it under 5 hours. Can we get to, I got a great story that we're going to tell on the podcast. By the way, the podcast,
yes.
I don't know if you guys heard Major Ed. Oh, my gosh, dude. I mean, Major Ed last week was amazing for Memorial Day, and the second part is today, and it is incredible. Major Ed Polito, of course, got injured and serving our country. He's just a great man. So if you want to go listen to the Julie and Jim Ferrin podcast. But I'm going to bring this up on the podcast. We're driving up to Stillwater on Saturday, and, you know, Julie, like I said, you know, you know what question she asked me? She goes, how long is this game going to last? And I said, well, Joel, it could be 2 hours and 15 minutes. It could be 5 hours. And Dad got it. If it wasn't 5 hours, I talked to her the whole way home. You think this so bad. I mean, how long is this game going to last? I mean, I don't know. But now we've watched 15 hours of baseball in the last 2 days.
Yes. It's been nuts. Thanks so much. We'll be listening at 2 o'clock.
Okay, fellas. You guys have been getting rain, so I'm happy for you.
Yes, we did. We got a ton of rain, which was really, really nice.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, fellas. All right. See ya.
Thank you. Yep. See you, Jim. The ultimate Jim Traber. joining us as he does on a Monday. I mean, seriously, I didn't even think about that comparison that you made, but it is so perfect.
I mean, talking about the coaches need fire, you know, isn't that the reaction of OU fans if they lose, or even before halftime if they're losing?
Well, and
you
just
start seeing those texts come, you know, from your friends like, God, we got to get rid of this guy, or we got to get rid of that guy.
But how much, how almost physically tired you get
that too,
watching no defense being played.
That too.
I mean, think about, I'm serious, watching, say, 2016 OU Tech.
Yeah. Oh, that was exhausting. Yes. Exactly.
I mean, as a fan, and we're not even connected like he is with the personal relationships with the coaches and being in the Hall of Fame up there. And it almost became expected. Is recently as last year with the way that Oklahoma's defense has not been very good.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, at least I think there's always hope when you begin a new football game because it's been a week, you know, and okay, maybe you could fix something or it worked on this or this guy got healthy. Going into today with OSU and Arkansas, I mean, you're expecting it to be double digits. I mean, I don't know that I've ever watched a game, like even in the bottom of the 10th, after OSU gets 4 in the top of the inning. Like, most of the time, you can just kind of exhale and go, oh, okay, good. This is going to be over. Not last night. Like, it was almost more shocking the way that inning transpired in the bottom of the 10th than if they'd have scored 4 or 5, 3, you know, whatever it was. I mean, it was the first zero that was hung in hours.
It felt like some of the softball games I've witnessed over here with the little kids. It just, one team gets up and gets 6 runs. The other team gets up and gets 6 runs and just back and forth. And you're just happy just to get an out to prevent another 6-run inning.
Yeah, please just 5. That way we can take the lead with 6.
Yeah, we can go back and get another 6. Yeah, it kind of felt like that at times.
I mean, the numbers were just astounding. OSU played 2 baseball games yesterday. 68 runs combined in the 2. 68.
Am I wrong? Didn't they score how many on Saturday in the loss? How many total runs have they scored in this regional? It has to be around 100.
I think it is 100.
Right at 100.
I think that home run last night made it exactly 100. Is that right? 29. 14. Yeah, maybe not quite.
And I get it, too. I mean, yes, the bats,
it was 100 runs
they
yesterday.
Can hit. Now, OSU has great offense, but it's sometimes it's by circumstance of the pitching just being stressed out as the opposing pitching. So the pitching, the quality isn't as good once you get them into their bullpen and they're constantly rotating them out.
Well, it's just the perfect storm. You've got 2 teams that can mash. You've got 2 pitching staffs that are having, you know, dipping down into toward the bottom of the barrel. And, oh, by the way, it's hot, it's windy, and it's blowing dead out. You know, I mean, it was the perfect storm of the easiest, the best hitting conditions you could possibly imagine. And then, oh, by the way, but you still have to hit it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just catch it and throw it out of there. You still got to hit it. And, man, both teams did. And it was fun to watch from a neutral observer perspective. If it was a team that you love, for the OSU fans and even the Arkansas fans that are listening, I don't know. I mean, it, you know what it reminded me of more than anything? The Rose Bowl, Oklahoma and Georgia.
Okay.
That's what it reminded me of. Just haymaker after haymaker after haymaker. And never feeling comfortable, and it was incredible. But see, the difference is you don't see that in baseball that often. Like, you see shootouts, but not like that. Not like that. Yes, it is a beautiful place on the text line. I've been, we went. And Jim, you know, that Osmond, that's who pitched the night we were there. And he was 94, 95 with a nasty slider. And just having an extra arm would be a huge advantage to anybody that's left standing today. You know, that the I think Oklahoma wise, you know, they're probably in about as good a shape arm wise as you could be because of the way their games have been played. You know, they right. hadn't had to expend the entirety of the bullpen in any game yet, the way that Oklahoma State and Arkansas have had to. So, you know, those down there in that regional at Gainesville, it's completely different than anything. I mean, Stillwater is completely different than everybody because of what's happened there and the offensive explosion. But I do think even yesterday you saw a lot more quality still out on the mound for Florida and OU than what you did because of the runs being scored in Stillwater.
Right. Yeah. And I know we're out of time, but that question got me thinking because they're playing in SEC country against a future SEC opponent. They're holding their own with them. They beat them Saturday, got a chance to beat them today in their own backyard and move on. I mean, I think it's a big opportunity for the OU program moving forward to eventually getting into that conference. And instead of being a bottom of the barrel type team, say, hey, we went to SEC country and won. We can do that again when we're in there. I just think it's a big opportunity today. It could be one of those games. If they win, you could always go back and go, that was when we knew, oh, you can hang with these guys.
Yeah, the facilities is a problem.
It's going to have to be looked at, and if Jim's right. And I think I recall hearing something like that when the softball proposal was put out there very early in its stages, before the money was even acquired, that there was some looks at, you know, some possible renderings and updated stuff to Eldale Mitchell. But honestly, I think it needs to be brand new stadium.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be nice. But
or knock it all down and rebuild it. I don't know.
Probably not happening.
No.
But.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a totally different world. Baseball-wise in the SEC versus what it's been here.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I mean, OSU is obviously taking the step to be right there at the top of the heap with Obrate at this moment. But, yeah, Eldale.
And like any sport in the college level, shoot, any level, usually success comes from nice new facilities. You know? You got a nice facility, nice place to play in, practice facilities, locker rooms. It's all nice. Something about that breeds success on the field.
Sure. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it just is it's a chicken and the egg thing, though.
It is.
Sometimes.
If you're not good, then why are you going to get new facilities?
But sometimes it happens that way. Where you have been good, the facilities are there, then you get back to being good again. Other times, you got to prove it. And I think OU softball is the prime example of proving it, and now finally are going to be able to reap the benefits of that from where they started to where they are now. Just a completely amazing transformation. And softball, hey, OU softball is king right now of about anything, at least what we're watching at this moment. It's going to be a fun day, though.
It is. It is. Hey, real quick, did you apply for your master's tickets yet?
June 1st. I forgot on Wednesday. I had it on my phone. I got an interesting article about that. I read over the weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they ran the numbers in Golf Digest, and it was actually shocking what those numbers are compared to the lottery.
Huh.
The real lottery. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Everybody have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.